Leon, why don't you tell us how Northern Uproar got started?
Well, the actual story was quite a romantic story, really, because we all started when we all went to school with each other from the original members. We were all from school from each other from five, from when we first started. The three of us were in the same class from in primary school, which is the first school we went to. And then, obviously, secondary school, we started the band when we were about 11. And then when we were about 13, I met the manager that led us onto a record deal, and he was a park keeper in the local park that we used to go play football on. And he was he had previously been involved in music bands, and then sort of one thing led to another, and then at 16 we signed a record deal, and then the rest is history. The rest, you know, from then till now, we've released five albums and gone through a few different lineups. But you know, the main thing was that Northern Uproar was my band anyway. So you know, from where it started and where it is now, it's just through different times and different variations of people. And I think that, you know, from the sound that we originally did, I think there's a massive contrast, and I think that's a good thing, you know.
Exactly. And what I'm like flabbergasted at is you had a record deal at 16.
Yes.
How does that happen?
Well, we were playing the networks. We were playing the clubs and the bars in Manchester when we were actually 15. We weren't even allowed to be in them places, but you know, we managed to do so. And because we were so young, and Oasis had made a massive impact at the time, obviously, and the record companies were all flying up to Manchester, and that was when you had record deals, you know, not like now, things are very different. But you know, we were offered like five or six different contracts, really, and so that became. You know, it was very apparent that we were going to get a deal, a record deal, which, like I say, record deals now are a total different thing to what they used to be. But yeah, you know, I mean, it wasn't just Oasis. It was the movement at the time, the music at the time had exploded. You know, the Britpop thing, you know, which what it was, and we were part of that movement.
Nice. Yeah, so you're talking about mid-90s, Oasis, Verve, all that stuff.
Yeah, mid-90s. Yeah. Well, we got signed in 1994. We'd literally left school, and it was only 6 months after we'd left school.
Wow. Well, I'm you know, I can't believe, I mean, like, such a young age. How do you take a sudden change in life like that at that age? Because I would have gone back, like, the next day I would have gone to school and my shit wouldn't stink. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, the thing is, it was, what can I say? We were elated by, you know, we were absolutely made up, because all our younger lives, you know, when we were like early teenagers, you know, we were watching bands like Nirvana and the Stone Roses, and we were into all that, and the Happy Mondays, and Guns N' Roses. We were big on Guns N' Roses, and obviously the Beatles and Rolling Stones. So when we got signed to the record company, you know, we'd really achieved what we'd set out to do, because you know, from the change was massive. The change was from being just a normal lad on a suburban street in South Manchester, to all of a sudden to being able to support, you know, massive, massive bands in festivals all across England and Europe. And then two tours of Japan, which were amazing. It was a fantastic time. And, you know, yeah, it was, but we took it quite, we took it quite well. You know, we were very happy, very elated, but we took it quite well.
Now, how do you go from being part of the new Britpop sound at the time to Hey Samurai, which comes out this Friday, by the way? I mean, that is a severe evolution. Because Hey Samurai has such a mature melodic sound to it.
Well, obviously, you know, when we our first record, I was 17 when the first album came out, when I was 17, and when I look back from then till now, obviously, we were a younger band, and everything was different the way we were mentally and what we were looking for. Now, where the difference between the album now and then would be a lot of different things. The biggest contrast of it is that I'm half Spanish, so I've been living on and off in Spain the past 15, 17 years, and I've took on board a lot of Spanish music, a lot of Latin rhythms, a lot of Latin South American music as well, and so my taste and my styles are just completely broadened. As well with our sort of, you know, hate to bracket, but the sort of our own sort of rocky style that we've developed over here, I thought we'd done a good combination, and I sort of see myself as being like, you know, as amalgamating styles a little bit, but I think with an original twist, which is what I'm after. And And I think we achieved that on this album, most definitely. So, you know, and obviously, you know, we've grown a bit older, you're out, you know, the way you want your music to sound is different. We're completely happy with it.
I also hear a lot of funk in it from time to time. So I was wondering if you were into any of that stuff, like the Ohio Players and James Brown, and, you know, and even some, maybe even soul like Marvin Gaye.
I'm a big fan of soul based music. Well, that can come from. That can be right across the board, from black soul to sort of white rock soul, you know. I think what you're trying to get at, which is probably been done, you know, without knowing, is that we've worked to the beat, to the drum beat, and we sort of took it from the beat upwards, so it's going to naturally have a very funky sound. I like funk music. I like funky style of music because I play live about 7 or 8 times a week. So, you know, my wherever I'm playing, you know, I like it to be rhythmical, and also the Latin rhythms that I've been learning over the years, that I've been playing are very funky and very very beaty. So Latin music and black soul music, funk music, all amalgamates into one. So where that influence has come from has probably been quite a few different things. But yeah, I can totally see where you're getting the funk from, the sort of funky side. But you know, the truth of the matter is that I listen to all different things. There's nothing that I don't listen to, and that's the beauty of music. And I think writing and creating music, the more you if you've got a broad spectrum of sound and things that you listen to, the more interesting your music will be, I think, you know. So that's my answer to that one.
No, I totally agree, and I think you guys pull it off very well, because Hey Samurai, when I first heard it on the promo copy, the first thing I got was how diverse it was. Like, you've got some really charged songs, like 24 Hours, 24 Days, Outlaws, Robbing Trains. But then, like, you've got like some smooth tracks in there, like Chasing Demons, and then Jackal, which is almost a ballad, but I wouldn't call it a ballad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Yeah, no, I can see where you're coming from there. I mean, the whole thing about it is that we're melodically everything is melodic. It can vary in style, but the main thing that I like to do is I like to sing a good song, so you know that's recognisable, because that's the style of that is my style of singing. You know what I mean? And I've also, I think, over the years, I've developed my style of singing now is well more in my natural tone. I think when I was younger, I mean, I think there's a lot of younger bands can relate to this. When I was younger, I was probably singing a bit out of my range, but that's because you're young, you don't really know what you're doing, you're just doing it, you're belting it out. And where now I'm sort of more in focus with where my tone of voice is. You know what I mean? So I've always been keen that everything is melodic, and I think the album definitely shines in that direction. You know that it's very melodic, and it's got variations of styles, like you said.
Yeah, I think you're dead on about vocals too. In my experience, I started playing in bands at a young age. I was 17, and I noticed my singer, like at the time, he grew into his voice. Like the first year, first year he wanted to be more than he was, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
and then and then by doing that, he kind of fell into what he was, and I think that's where you're at. I think that's what you're talking about. You're comfortable with who you are as a vocalist.
Exactly. Because what you do, you find, you know, when we first started playing, you're playing with electric guitars. So when you're playing with electric guitars, the vocalist generally has to sing quite in a high pitch. It has to cut across them the harmonics of the electric guitars. As you get older, you realize you use your ears more. Do you know what I mean? And you don't go hell for leather, as you say in England. You just sort of, you know, you go more for where it, you know. And my I've got a very deep voice, and now I can really project that. And I've really started to enjoy singing in the voice that it's ended up that I've grew into. And I think that's just a sign of many, many years of doing it. You know what I mean? You know, people don't learn that unless they've done it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also too, you know, most of us, when we first start out, and especially at a young age, we want to be our influences, you know, when I first started playing out, I started playing guitar at a real young age. I was 10 years old, but I wanted to be Eddie Van Halen. And then when I got to the point where I could solo like him, I, you know, people started telling me, you can't solo over the whole song. you know, it gets old. Yeah, we know you can play, but can you play now? You know, and I think that's also what you're talking about too, because we all get to a certain age where we just mature naturally.
Yes, definitely.
So how do you explain your songwriting process? Because your songs are really intricate at times.
Well, the way I mean, I write off acoustic guitar all the time. That's the way that I write. I write off a Spanish classical acoustic because that's the instrument that I play all the time. And what I'll do, I will generally listen to quite a lot of different tracks, a lot of different songs, and it can be anything from like you know, I mean, you mentioned Eddie Van Halen. One of my favorite rock bands is Whitesnake, so I could be listening to a fucking Whitesnake song. And then I can be listening to bloody Carlos Santana or Fania All-Stars, some crazy salsa band. And I can just, you know, I'll just listen. I'll listen to lots of records, lots of different, and then I'll just work it in my head, and I'll just like play around simple chords and get a melody. Now, what we've done with this album is I wrote a lot of the songs off acoustic guitar and vocals, and then what I did, I laid them down in the studio, and actually three or four of the songs, they took my guitar out completely, and they ended up building the guitars around it, and other things. And I found that really interesting. So, because I wrote this song, but then my guitar wasn't even on it. And I thought that was really good, because when they put the guitar in it, it didn't sound that good. But because the musicians were that good, they could build something around it. And I thought that was dead exciting and very, very interesting, because obviously I wrote the song and now it sounds like something else. And that happened on Outlaws Robin Trains, and it happened on 24 hours, 24 days. That was, and what's one or two other songs as well. So I thought, so the actual writing process was very different on some tracks. Some were a bit more straightforward, like the Everlasting Rain. That was pretty a constant sort of skanky guitar, and then that was pretty straightforward. And some of the others were more straightforward, but like I say, some of the others were written, and then it was taken to a different level, and I just thought that was dead exciting.
Exactly, and it shows too. And you know what's really good about this album, in particular, everybody who plays on it sticks out at some point, and you can really hear the talent in the band. Two of the first things that caught my eye were actually the keys and the bass. You know, yes. I don't know the band's members' names, but those two knocked it out of the ballpark. I mean, they were spot on with rhythm and the bass guitar and the drums seem married to each other.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, the guys that I play with, I have about 10 different musicians that I work with, and they're all fantastic. And the ones that were played on that, on the record, which were on all the same tracks, the guys that I've played with on and off for 15 years. So, you know, we're great friends, and great collaborators, I've got a lot of gratitude towards, having great players around me, you know, and it stands out as well.
Oh, it definitely stands out, and I mean, my hat's off to you to keep a band that tight, you know, even in the studio. Because I mean, granted, the studio you can cover up a lot of stuff, but you can't cover up non-talent everybody in that band deserves my kudos, man. I mean, here's the cool thing about it. Like, I hear a lot of music. I mean, I hear tons of music. I mean, I get probably about, you know, 1,000 MP3s a week. And, you know, and about half that, you know, for albums. I mean, you see all the reviews we do. But this is like an album I like, listened to. And I not only liked, but I enjoyed. It put the time. I don't know how to say it. Yeah. It put the time stamp on my day for that day. It actually made my day better.
Yeah,
you know, so I mean, and what really impressed me, you know, I know we talked about this a little bit before, but it's the diversity. You're showing your influences. It almost seems like you're paying tribute at times to certain genres.
Yes, I'd say that. Yeah, definitely. But what you're saying there, I get that. A lot of people that I know that have listened to the album that are friends and all that, and they are my friends, but they say, Leon, you know, we adore this record, we love it, and you know, and I know that because I love it, and to be honest with you, I've made something that I feel that makes me very, very happy. So if it makes me feel very, very happy, well, it's going to make anyone else feel happy. That's the way I look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, was it an easy or a hard album to record? Because sometimes greatness comes out of strife, and sometimes greatness comes out of easiness to work.
Studios can be quite stressful places sometimes. There's a bit of both, but we always had. What was amazing, really, was when we got it all down and we knew it was sounding good, but it was the production that Chris Hamilton did afterwards. That was fucking, that was, you know, and then the bits that you don't see, like, you know, the mastering and all that, all of a sudden, as I call it, the hundreds and thousands, that really started coming to the fore. And then I thought, fucking hell, this sounds great. You know what I mean? And because the thing is, you know, we all know production is very important, but Jesus, the actual mix of it is vital. It's fucking vital. You know what I mean? And you know, I mean, obviously we're enjoying this album and things are going really well, and I'm very happy. But the next, you know, I'm always projecting this because that's just the way that I am. But the next time, you know, it's going to get even better again because I've got lots of wonderful ideas, and I've got lots of wonderful people to record again with, and the process will only get better and better. I know that I've had something quite special for quite a long time. It's special to me. I think it's special to other people as well. But you know, it will show in its own way. And I don't say that in an egotistic way, because I'm not an egotistic person. But I just love what I do because I've done it for many, many years, and I've done different things. I've done things that have not worked well. And you need to make them things not work well to realize what does work well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Failure is the best lesson, and we've all had a planet. We've all had stuff like that. But I know what you're saying. It's not ego at all. It's one of those times where you've done where you and the group that works with you have done such a good job that you've impressed yourself, and we're our own worst critics.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh God. Yeah. 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 And you need, you know, we all know when we've done, when you know something's, when you know you've done a recording and you know that sounds like you, well then you've done a good job, you know what I mean? All right, you know, anything could be better than that, but when I listen to that record, that sounds like me. You know, where years ago I used to do records, and probably I'd mask it with loads of backing harmonies and all that, and though I liked it, but this sounds more real to what I've done in certain, you know, that's what I'm saying, because, you know, you have that sort of insecurity. Oh, does it sound well? Does it, you know, all right, yeah, do a backing harmony, do a, you know, and then before you know it, you're like the Beach Boys, you know what I mean? And though I did love the Beach Boys, but I'm fucking certainly not the Beach Boys. But what I'm saying is that you learn all these things, and now I listen to it and I go, yeah, that sounds like me. I'm dead happy about that. Fantastic. And everything else that's gone on before is a learning process.
Oh yeah. Well, it's always a learning process, I think. You know.
Yes, it's always.
Because I mean, you sound of the mindset, you're kind of like me, where like, okay, you know, you've come out with something great with Hey Samurai, and that's actually going to, what you've learned through that process is going to make the next album sound better.
Yes, definitely, because yeah, there's a lot of techniques we've learned, there's a lot of things that, you know, for the first time, you know, I mean, I've known the studio was an important place, but the studio is a seriously important place, you know, and you know, it's a combination of having good live musicians, you know, good ideas, and then good studio, good production techniques, and good mixing skills. It's a combination, you know. All right, I know things in life are supposed to be, you know, the best things are simple, but when you're making music and you're mixing our flavors, mixing ideas, and you're trying to be a bit original, it does take quite a few different things. It's probably not as simple as people think it is, because it has to have a combination of everything. You know what I mean? Probably the simple side of it is that you just get one song, you know, everyone follows that song. But yeah, you know, it's I think it's very, very exciting after doing it for so many, many years now. You know, I feel like I'm a new person doing new music again. You know, and that's a good thing.
Oh, I totally agree. Well, with Hey Samurai, let's talk about the tracks. If you could pick one song off that album that best represents that album, what would it be and why?
Oh Jesus, that'd be hard for me to say, because I like them. I like all of them individually, but I think they're fantastic. The one that combines a lot of that together is Outlaws Robin Trains, for the sheer fact it's got the funky rhythm that you mentioned before, and it's got the Mediterranean sort of Balearic programming that's give it a bit of a slight tinge, and then it's got the sort of, you know, we sort of comical lyrics a bit, you know what I mean? Lyrics with a sense of humour. So it's sort of the combination of it all, and obviously, you know, the thumping bass line. I think that represents the album fantastically, because it's sort of combined a lot of what we're doing, and it's got that sunshiny feel to it as well, which is where I'm always going, really, sometimes, you know.
Now, are there any tracks that almost made the album that you thought, man, if we just had like 24 more hours, that would have been on there?
Well, I've got outstanding tracks left that I'm going to record. I'm going to look to be doing an EP in a new year of maybe four tracks that were outstanding left that I've had. I just didn't get time to get looking onto it. But I've also written some more stuff, and I can just see where it's going, and I can just see it be that, you know. It's, for me, it's exciting. But we've got to focus on this album, focus where this is going. But obviously, as artists and musicians, we're always projecting, we're always writing stuff, we're always getting different ideas. But yeah, I've got another handful of songs, but I'm writing as well at the same time. So there'll be definitely a new EP coming out in the new year.
Nice. Now, this one comes out October 9th, so that's this Friday.
Yes.
So you're going to have like a big release party or anything this weekend?
Well, we're quite busy this weekend with that. We're doing the release basically all online at the minute, and we've not set anything yet, because we're absolutely busy doing quite a few different things at the minute. But we're getting a lot of interviews, we're doing a lot of press, and we're just taking it easy. You know, years ago we would have organized something, but you know, we're just taking it easy, and I reckon in a couple of weeks we'll definitely get ourselves something going like that. Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, I mean, because you guys have to play this stuff live, man. I mean, I know we talked about how great the studio is, but I get the impression from listening to these songs that they would actually sound better live.
They sound great live. Yeah,
you know? Have you thought maybe like middle of next year or something, releasing a few live tracks?
Yeah, there's always room for that. It's just fitting it all in, because we're sort of hit with loads of different things, and you know, everything's up for being done. It's the time frame, and it's the busyness of what we're doing, you know, because we're all working musicians, you know, we do different things, you know, and you know, my band can be in all different areas, but yeah, you know, anything can be done. It just is a matter of getting it. It's the time, and you know, if we've got it all, if we're available, you know. But you know, all I can say is what, you know, I mean, the great thing about the internet, the great thing about doing it, you know, yourselves is that we're always going to be there. We're going to be consistently there. We just take it easy. I'm in no rush.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think you're at a time in your career too, where you can literally do anything you want and mix it up the proper way.
Yes, 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 definitely.
So we're
decisive on the gigs because we want to do the right gigs. We're not in any rush. You know, the movement of music nowadays is massive. I mean, you know, I want to play where the atmospheres are special. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of bands and a lot of festivals, a lot of things to do. So we want to choose it right. You know, we're not, and I think it's best to hold back and get it right than just to jump in and do anything you can. You know, I think that's the way we look at it. You know?
Exactly. So where can we find Northern Uproar online?
Online, well, everything that we're doing is all exposed online through our general website. But people can buy our record on iTunes from the 9th.
Google Play
I'm not 100% on that one, and I think we're on what's that? Amazon. We're going to be doing something with Amazon pretty soon, and what's the one that everyone listens to? I forget the names of that many of them. Spotify, that's the one. So we're going to be hitting out on all of them. But, you know, I want everyone that either reads this interview or any of them to buy the record, get the record, you know, it's out on the 9th, you know, and fucking hell, just enjoy it.